I think it's a fun idea.
Thank you.
We could auction off things that we do for each other, like cleaning or tennis lessons. My sorority did it all the time.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you right there. Was this a sorority that you didn't get into a real sorority, so you had to kind of form your own?
Move on, Michael.
Okay. Okay, well, come on. Let's have an auction. Let's do this. We'll auction off people, like in the olden days.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, episode 25, the eve of free agency. Hopefully you guys will be listening to this before free agency starts tomorrow, Thursday, March 8th at 4 p.m. It's Ethan and Weiss back at you again. You know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. Go subscribe to us on iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, all the links, all the devices. It doesn't matter if you don't have an iPhone. You can subscribe and listen. Go to the Audio Boom channel, enter your email. You'll get a new email every time a new episode drops. Same thing with iTunes. Hit the subscribe button. Rate us 5 stars. Tell us we're pretty. And as always, go follow us on Twitter at EthanGSN, at NYGDaily, at GothamSN. Weiss, let's get into it because today was a glorious day. I woke up to some amazing news. Brandon Marshall, now New York Giant. Thank you to the Jets. Let's get into him first, thoughts and feelings. I'll let you take it away, and then we'll kick to me.
I was shocked. I was really, really shocked. I did not expect them to be serious bidders for Brandon Marshall. But he obviously took less money. I mean, we're going to see eventually some of these contracts that these wide receivers are going to get. Clearly, Marshall, who still has something left in the tank, could have gotten some serious dough on the free agent market. And he took less, stayed in New York. I was driving to work this morning, got a text that actually I just read that the Giants are, you know, given Dwayne Harris's ultimatum about either restructuring or possibly getting cut. I think Schefter tweeted that out. I was like, guess they're freeing up some space possibly for Hankins. We'll see. And next thing I know, I got a text that said, you know, Giants are signing Brandon Marshall. And I was like, whoa, that came out of nowhere. Yeah. So, I mean, it on the field, it makes perfect sense. I mean, you add a 6'4", 230 physical specimen who's a beast, who can go up and get the ball, who's a tall target for Eli Manning, something he hasn't had for some time. And it really adds a different dynamic to the Giant offense. You look at their receiving core, and on paper, it's tough to find three receivers better than them right now with Odell and Sterling Shepard and obviously Brandon Marshall. I'm eager to see how they make it work. I'm eager to see how Brandon Marshall adapts to the fact that he's now, you know, the number two receiver or 2A with him and Sterling Shepard. And you know, I have high hopes for this offense now. I think last year at this time we were kind of excited about Cruz and Beckham and Shepard, and clearly that didn't work out as good as we thought. But Brandon Marshall can play outside. He can play inside. He's a great run blocker. He will be a great mentor to not just the young receivers, but in the locker room. And then I'm happy, man. It's a very friendly contract, 2 years, $12 million. There isn't going to be a lot tied to him. I'm still going to wait and see on the guaranteed dollars. But again, it's really not that big of an issue. And I mean, it makes the Giants, if they weren't already, it makes them a real serious contender in the NFC. And, you know, it's early on, but when you look at the NFC East, you look at the secondaries. I mean, if it was just Sterling Odell, they would have the advantage. Now you add a Brandon Marshall to the equation, and it's just, you know, it's
crazy.
Pretty good.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's very crazy. It's very crazy, especially if Brandon Marshall can be what he was with that first year with the Jets.
Yeah, in 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are like a few different angles that I'd like to attack the Brandon Marshall to the Giants news from. The first is let's go off the field first. Now, when, you know, people were speculating, okay, the Jets are going to release Marshall. He wants to play for a contender. And, you know, New York made perfect sense. I even tweeted out myself. I said, Brandon Marshall to the New York Giants makes way more sense for Brandon Marshall than it does for the New York Giants. At least so I thought at the time. I wasn't a huge fan about the idea. Unless I'm going to be totally honest, the idea scared me because of the issues that Marshall's had with other teams, getting into it with teammates, getting into it with coaches, caring more about his media career than he did about his playing career. I mean, there were, you know, a number of different ways you could look at this to be, you know, a bad idea, especially, you know, a guy of his temperament with Odell, not only just on the same team, but on the same squad. But here's the spin zone for you guys. You have to look at it in a bunch of different ways. One, and I'm sure this is in the contract, Marshall came out and said that he would be taking a much smaller role on inside the NFL. So if there's any doubt that he just wants to be in New York for his media thing, throw that out the window. The guy wants to be here to win. Now, speaking of winning, like you mentioned, he took a 2-year, $12 million contract. So that's $6 million per, very cap friendly. I mean, if you look at the other, let's call them outside receivers that are on the free agent market, right? You got Kenny Stills, Britt Stills, Garcon, I guess, technically. And you look at the contracts these guys are getting. I mean, Kenny Stills' agent came out a few weeks ago and said that they thought he could get upwards of $10 million, which is crazy. I mean, throw Terrell Pryor into that mix, he's probably going to get $10 million, and that's for one good season at the wide receiver position.
Alshon Jeffrey.
I'm forgetting him too. He's going to get upwards of, you know, 12 to 15 million range, probably, depending on how these other contracts pan out. Brandon Marshall took less because he wanted to be on a winning team and a team that was ready to contend now. I mean, he's 33. He's no spring chicken. He knows his time is coming to an end. And to be quite honest, his closing window is the same as Eli's. Eli's got 3 years left on this contract. It shows that Jerry is in win now mode. He wants to go for it. And this is the perfect move. Now, if you think about it from an on-field perspective, it's perfect. You know, people bring up, and I've brought this up a number of times, Eli hasn't had that sort of outside physical receiver in a while. People bring up Hakeem Nicks. I feel like a lot of people forget that Hakeem Nicks was only 6'1". He played way bigger than he actually was. He was a great player, deceptively big, deceptively fast. This is Plaxico Burress 2.0. Now, you brought it up. He's 6'4", 220, 230 pounds. Okay, that, you know, that's a nice number. That's impressive. Go look at him and Odell standing side by side. I tweeted a picture out earlier. Marshall is a large 6'4". Like a head taller than Odell. It's wild how much bigger this guy is. In terms of roles on the field, you brought this up as well. I was listening to Marshall on Francesa earlier. Marshall straight up came out and said, I'm here to take pressure off Odell. My job is to be the number two receiver, and this team has two number two receivers because of how good Sterling Shepard is. So right away, he knows his role. He knows what he's here to do. He's here to win these jump balls, and he's underratedly good at sitting himself down in the middle of a zone and taking advantage. So, very versatile player. I think schematically it works well. It means that the 11 personnel set is here to stay for the most part, whether we like it or not. I think if you look at the 2015 Giants offense, Reuben Randle fell ass backwards into 800 yards and 8 touchdowns. Reuben Randle is now Brandon Marshall. So if you think about like that increase in talent level, I mean, this offense can be scary good. Something that we'll talk about a little bit later because I've been rambling for a little bit. None of this is going to matter unless they improve the offensive line, because as we saw last year, if Eli doesn't have time to throw, it's going to be a disaster. So the wide receiver talent's there. I think they have the most talented trio in the entire league. But this is only the beginning. We still have to talk about JPP, Hankins, offensive line, running back, tight end. So, you know, Marshall's nice, cat-friendly deal, great player. It's only one piece of the puzzle. So,
yeah,
you know, moving forward, we're going to have to, you know, figure out these missing pieces.
Yeah, you brought up an interesting point about the Giants going all in. And usually when teams go all in, sometimes there you get teams that are smart with it. You know, John Elway, he was smart with it, was very schematic, did it very methodical with the free agents that he signed when he had Peyton Manning for those last, you know, 3-4 years. But with Jerry Reese, it's the same thing. These deals that he's given out, they're very friendly deals so far. I mean, when you look at it, Brandon Marshall's deal is 2 years, $12 million, pretty straightforward. There's nothing long term that can affect them. They didn't give up any draft picks. And even with some of the long-term deals that he signed last year, they're, you know, very flexible in terms of how they structure them. So it's going all in, but they're smart with it. They're not giving up draft picks. They're not the contracts are structured very well for the Giants to be able to, you know, have to restructure if they have to, or just the way they're set up gives them a lot cap flexibility, not just this year, but down the line if you look into the future. So I definitely love this move, and I didn't think they would do it. I didn't give it much hope, but hey, some ways these things have played themselves out.
No, it's crazy. I know. And one other thing that I think is low key very important to consider here is that, you know, it's not just Giants fans that consider their team a contender. It's free agents and players, right? You know, yeah. When you think of teams that players go to because they want to win a championship and take a pay cut, you know, the first name you think of are the New England Patriots. I mean, a bunch of players did it this past year. More players are going to probably do it this year. To see guys like Brandon Marshall say, listen, I don't have a lot of time left. I want to win a championship and come to the Giants. Definitely refreshing.
You know what? You know, another thing is I was thinking about this today. Listening to Brandon Marshall talk, reading his quotes. You know, Odell Beckham has a reputation around the league, and some people like to create this narrative that he's a bad teammate to have in the locker room. But did you hear Brandon Marshall today talk about he wanted to come here, and the things he mentioned were obviously Eli Manning, the fact that, the Giants organization. But he mentioned Odell Beckham. He talked about wanting to play with Odell. He talked about the relationship he had with Odell. And that just shows that, you know, the media will have their opinion and they'll write their articles and they'll say what they need to say. Fans will say what they want to say. But when it comes down to it, people inside the NFL, people inside the Giants locker room have a way different perception of Odell than what some of the stuff that you might hear. So it was definitely interesting to hear Brandon Marshall say it emphatically, willing to take that number 2-0, talking about how much he wants to take pressure off Odell. I mean, that speaks about, you know, hey, guys want to come here to play with Odell. They realize having Odell Beckham gives the Giants that opportunity to contend.
Yeah, it's nice to at least see other players recognizing that greatness.
Yes.
You want to move on to other pieces of the offense?
Yes.
All right.
There's a lot.
No, go ahead. There's a lot to talk about. We could go tight end, offensive line, running back.
Yeah.
There's still holes to fill. Backup quarterback, definitely true. I'll let you pick the position, and we could take it from there.
Obviously, everyone is talking about the offensive line. And looking at the Giants' offensive line, the one thing coming into this offseason free agency was the fact that they weren't, you know, handing the left tackle position to Ereck Flowers. And that you know, smart thing to do. They shouldn't do it. But you look at the free agent market, I mean, you know, it's really, really dry when it comes to offensive tackles. Russell Okung is a guy that has been linked to the Giants. We'll see if they're willing to get into a negotiating battle or a bidding war with other teams on him. There's a lot of teams that need tackles. Andrew Whitworth is a possibility, but it just seems that he could be returning to Cincinnati. I can't see the Bengals losing Andrew Zeitler and Andrew Whitworth, two key pieces on their offensive line. It would be a total disaster. I think they have cap space too, so I'd be shocked if they lose both. Other than that, I mean, you get the bargain guys. You got the Ryan Clades, the Matt Khalils, the just guys that, you know, DJ Fluker is a guy that I've heard. I mean, not a lot of talent out there. And then you look at the draft, it's you know, Garrett Bowles and Ryan Ramczyk. And after that, you know, you go into the later rounds, you got Deion Dawkins, Forrest Lamp, but he's considered a guard. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Giants do this. Me personally, and I know people have their opinions, I'm not ready to sit here and completely write Ereck Flowers off. I don't think that's something that's smart for me to do yet. Obviously there's a lot of concern there with the fact that he's not improving as he should. But all in all, I think we could, what I'm asking for from the Giants is I know that they can't build the Dallas Cowboys offensive line overnight. I know it's going to take time. I know you're It's the hope is that you build an elite offensive line for however many years that Eli Manning has left. But I'm hoping for competition on the offensive line. I'm hoping that they get guys in there that can compete, they can push each other. And if you have 6, 7, 8, 9 guys working, you know, competing during training camp, you pull the best 5 out there. And if that means that you play a certain guy at a certain position, so be it. So, you know, I'm eager to see what they do. I hope that they're in the Russell Okung sweepstakes. Their names seem to be linked to it. There have been many outlets that have had the Giants linked to Okung. Some outlets out of Denver, out of Seattle, national outlets, you know, CBS Sports. So I'm interested to see what they do. They've been working to free up some cap space. I think the first domino for the Giants is obviously the Jason Pierre-Paul deal. See where that goes. And then after that, we'll, you know, frees up more cap space and they gives them more flexibility to possibly make a run at one of these guys. So, you know, I think I know where you're going to go with this. And that's why I didn't bring that tackle up. So I'll let you chime in.
I mean, my opinion of it is it's unfortunate that the Giants, I would say their biggest need is left tackle, right tackle, considering what the market is. You know, Whitworth is going to be like the guy. He's probably going to go back to Cincinnati. And by the way, I just want to bring this up because you brought it up in regards to Cincinnati's line and them keeping Whitworth in, who is it, Zeitler?
Yes.
You know, good teams keep their good players. And I just think it's hilarious that in the past 2 off seasons, the Giants have wound up with Damon Harrison and Brandon Marshall from the Jets. So, you know, just kind of a pat on the back to us Giants fans for rooting for the non-garbage franchise in the area. Now, back to the offensive line. It stinks because there's really no one out there that you can sort of say, all right, that's the guy, let's bring him in. It's not really a deep class where you can say, all right, even though, you know, we're taking a bargain on this guy, he'll come in and be a serviceable tackle. Because a lot of the guys out there, DJ Fluker, he didn't work out in San Diego. You brought up Matt Khalil. You know, he's had a crazy injury history, and I don't think the Vikings want him back. You know, Ricky Wagner is a guy who he's this year's Olivier Vernon to me. As you guys remember last year, I was on the Olivier Vernon hype train since February. You know, he's signed for $9-10 million with Detroit, so he's off the market. Now, I mean, you brought it up. Based on what's out there, I think the only, you know, good option left is to bring in Russell Okung. And even if he doesn't work out for whatever reason, like, you still need competition. You can't hand Ereck Flowers the job. You just can't. After the past 2 years and we've seen almost no improvement, like, I don't care what the offensive line coach sees in practice, what Jerry Reese sees when he's evaluating. They cannot go into this season and hand Ereck Flowers his job. He at the very least, needs to earn it. You know, Kung's been linked to the Giants this year. They had him in last year. And like last year, I was very upset that, you know, they basically said, listen, you're here and you're going to play right tackle. Otherwise, there's no contract, instead of letting him compete for the left tackle job. So it's going to be interesting because there are a few draft picks. You know, you're higher on Bowles than I am. I think Ramczyk's the best guy available. If that's what it came to and they decided to draft Ramczyk, at this point in time, I'm fine with it. I'd be happy. Guys like Mike Mayock are saying he's the most pro-ready tackle that there is. You know, not saying much considering it's a weak class. But fact of the matter is, they need to bring in, you know, at least one tackle for competition purposes. Just a side note, you brought up Forrest Lamp, who projects to be a guard in the NFL because he's got T-Rex arms. I really like what I've seen from Lamp, by the way. I know the Giants probably won't go guard with their first pick, but if you wound up somehow with, you know, a middle three of Pugh, Richburg, and Lamp, I mean, that would be a force in the run game. Actually, one more point before I kick it back to you. The chances of this happening are, like, I would say less than 5%. But considering, you know, we didn't think Marshall was that realistic of a possibility, considering that Jerry Reese is clearly in win-now mode, would he try to trade for a Staley or a Thomas at the draft? The answer probably being no, simply because each guy carries a pretty heavy cap hit that they wouldn't be able to fit if they wanted to also keep Jason Pierre-Paul. So unlikely, but keep that in the back of your head, guys, for, you know, while we're, you know, the week, coming weeks up to the draft, and just seeing how free agency plays out.
Yeah, I think you brought up the Joe Thomas factor. I think the one thing about, I believe it was Joe Thomas, I was reading something about this earlier in the day, not about them actually being traded to the Giants, just talking about the asking price and what it costs. I think it's not more so that they couldn't fit him under their cap. I think, listen, if you're training for Joe Thomas, who's, you know, arguably the best left tackle, $10 million for that is a bargain, and I think the Giants can figure out how to keep him or get him if they really, really wanted to. But I think the asking price is just too high, because not only are the Browns giving up on Joe Thomas, but they're going to have to carry a lot of dead money for trading him. So because of that, they're going to raise the asking price for Joe Thomas. Could be a first round pick, and me personally, I know the Giants are going all in, and they're, you know, sort of, from our perspective, desperate to get some offensive line help. But giving up a first round pick for Joe Thomas, as great as he is, a steep price, and it's a first round pick and more that they could be asking for.
No, if it's a first, then there's no way they should do it, and no way they will do it. But if for you say like maybe a Staley, they're asking for like a second this year and a fourth or fifth next year. You know, I probably do that.
Yeah, Staley does make a little bit more sense.
He's more cost effective in terms of draft picks.
Yeah, he has an $11 million cap hit this year, but going forward, it's 7.7 over the next two. So he has 3 years left, including this year coming up. That one does make a little bit more sense. But if you're San Francisco or you're Cleveland and you're looking for a quarterback, and maybe you see a quarterback that you like in the draft, maybe the 49ers go out and they get Kirk Cousins, you really don't want to part with some of these tackles. Now, you know, maybe their mindset is different than ours, but hey, I just don't see that as a viable option right now. Maybe down the line, if you know, they have a change of heart, they want to acquire more picks, maybe they want to get more picks in this draft because they like some of the prospects later rounds, maybe the Giants could discuss it, get on the phone and talk about it. But right now, I kind of find it hard to believe, just because if you look at the market, the free agent market, you look at the draft, really not a lot of viable options out there. But, I mean, look, Jerry Reese, Ben McAdoo, who's caught on this phrase, always says never say never. If you would have told me 2 days ago that they would sign Brandon Marshall,
exactly, or Kyle, yeah,
said you're crazy. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm not counting on it. It's not something that I'm banking on. But, again, you know, who knows? You know, I've seen crazy things happen with this
team. I mean, you brought up like the 49ers. They signed Hoyer today. Now, you know, for a veteran guy like that, I don't know. I'm trying to think here. Like, let's say and I don't think they should. Let's say the Browns end up taking a quarterback early. A young guy, I could see you really, really wanting to protect. But if you could get good value in terms of draft picks for Joe Staley, you know, if Hoyer's going to be your quarterback, I don't know. I could see Jerry doing it. Listen, I'm trying to think of like we're in new Jerry territory. We haven't seen this Jerry, I don't want to say ever, but in a long time, you know, where he's dealing like this.
Right. I think one thing about Jerry is, as much as this is a different type of feeling to him, as much as he's really out there looking to, you know, go all in.
Right.
I don't think he's willing to part with some of these draft picks now. Some people will say, well, you got to do it. You know, Eli Manning, final 3 years of his deal. You want to go all in. But Jerry's also thinking, you know,
post
5-10 years down the road.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. He's not really looking at it. Obviously you want to maximize the final years of Eli, but you can't jeopardize that much of the future for, you know, a 32, 33 year old tackle just to be able to say, well, you know, I'm going all in for Eli. But I think they'll flirt with it. I won't be surprised if they already have. There was a report out there that the Browns are fielding calls for Joe Thomas. I don't know how far that's going to get. Publicly, both Shashi Brown and Hugh Jackson have said we're not training Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas has stated that he wants to stay in Cleveland. So I'm interested to see what happens. I could see, you know, I think the Browns, it's more likely going to be Joe Staley if I had to choose one, just because I think the Browns are going to take a quarterback in this draft. And if they don't, I still think they want to be able to see what they got with their current quarterbacks. It'll be interesting. I mean, I think when we get more closer to draft time, that's when we'll kind of see some of these talks kind of pick up. But right now, I mean, it's a little iffy, but we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's talk rest of the offense real quick before we get to the defense. Running back names that have been thrown around, Latavius Murray, Eddie Lacy. I'm just going to come out and say it straight up, not interested in either. I am and have been for the last few years a big believer that you can get very good running back production in the mid rounds of the draft. We saw it with Perkins. We saw it with Jordan Howard last year, you know, especially in a year where you're going to be cap strapped to be filling these roles. There's literally no reason to take a chance or waste this cap space on Cheeseburger Eddie, or as I like to call him, China Food Eddie. And a guy like Latavius Murray, obviously if like their team's letting them go, they find that they're expendable, especially the Packers. Like, the Packers don't have any running backs. They've been using Ty Montgomery, and they're willing to just let Eddie Lacy walk. I mean, come on now. You're going to get production in the middle of the draft. Just, guys, if you really want an Eddie Lacy or Latavius Murray, think back to the later weeks of the 2016 season where all you could think about was how good Paul Perkins is. So just remember that kind of value that you're going to be able to get. And I'm very thankful the Adrian Peterson talk has calmed down, because that was always ridiculous. But there's just no need for Eddie Lacy and Latavius Murray.
I think if I had to choose one,
I would choose those Murray. Two,
I would choose Eddie Lacy. I'm a little bit more of a fan of Eddie Lacy. Yeah, I like Eddie Lacy. But I'm not really a fan of paying $4 or $5 million for a running back, especially in Eddie Lacy or Latavius Murray. But one guy that is kind of intriguing to me that could possibly show up on the free agent market is Alfred Morris. I think with the Giants, I could see them drafting a running back and signing a veteran in free agency.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think a veteran, kind of like that bulldozer, the guy you put in on the goal line, is Alfred Morris. I think he could come cheap, especially if he gets released.
It would be his third NFC East team in 3 years.
Yes, that would be crazy, right? Yeah. There could be another NFC East player that could be on a third NFC East team as well, too.
Very true.
I'm kind of hoping he gets out of the division, but we'll see. Right. Alfred Morris is a guy that I do like. I think he'll be on a cheap, much cheaper than Alfred Morris. Much cheaper than Lacy and Murray and Peterson and those guys. But I'm really just focusing on the draft when it comes to running backs. This class is loaded.
Loaded with
running back talent. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, it's definitely not, out of the water. I think it's I'm very eager to see what the Giants do. I thought this would be a very quiet free agency. But from all indications, man, they're looking to free up money. They're looking to get JPP's extension done. They're looking to retain Hankins. If they don't retain Hankins, they'll have some more money to go with. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not advocating for it. I'm totally not against it. I think they do need to add a veteran back, but if I had to choose between those three, given their price tags, I'll probably say Alfred Morris would be the cheapest. I mean, he'll probably be the guy that I would lean more toward, but other than that, I mean, I'm just looking at the draft for that position.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me a running back in the draft in the third, fourth, fifth round. Doesn't matter to me.
McCaffrey, man. I'm a big Christian McCaffrey fan.
I know you are.
I know you don't like taking running backs in round one.
Yeah.
But I'm watching McCaffrey, man. I see he can do so much.
I will never advocate taking a running back in the first round. I like McCaffrey. I think he's a great player. And I think he's going to excel at the NFL level. I just don't want the Giants to use a first round pick on a guy where, who knows, you could get that sort of talent with. I mean, look, we saw with Jordan Howard. I'll keep using Jordan Howard as the example. He put up.
You'll keep it. In that drum with Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard. I'm the Jordan Howard truther. I think, in terms of running back, let's wait for the draft. Let's talk tight end real quick before we get into Hankins and the defense. Fasano.
We talked about that. Remember a while ago we said, you and I were saying about the tight end. I said, well, they got to look in the draft for one, but also they got to find a veteran on the free agent market. And the one guy I mentioned was Anthony Fasano.
Yep. We're both big fans of Fasano.
Yeah, I mean, if the price is right, blocking tight end. Hey, if the Giants can't
see only a blocking tight end, he's the highest rated blocking tight end by Pro Football Focus last year.
Yeah, I mean, good point. I mean, and look, if they're unable to land one of these tackles, if they're unable to kind of improve it, best thing they can do is to get Eric Flowers some help. plug in Anthony Fasano. Obviously, in the draft, look for them to address the tight end position. But, you know, guys like Fasano, Deion Sims, they can come in and they can help. I think also Will Johnson coming back, it's going to be huge for them as well if he can stay healthy. So we'll see. I think guys like Martellus Bennett, Jared Cook, excuse me, these guys are not going to be in the Giants' price range. I don't think the Giants are going to look to pay that much money. I heard that the Packers are really trying to re-sign Jared Cook. Makes sense. When he was healthy, he was at times the best target Aaron Rodgers has had. He was the go-to guy for Aaron Rodgers. But Bennett is going to be out of their price range. I think Bennett's going to go to a team that I could see him going to, like, San Francisco or...
I mean, listen, that's the thing with these guys and the thing with, you know, going to the Patriots, like I mentioned before, to win a ring. You win the ring if you still got some good years left in you, go get paid, babe. I mean, really, like if you got the ring already, then you got nothing to worry about. You get that money.
Yeah. I mean, look, one thing people are not understanding when it comes to, and this was also one thing when people talked to us, kind of side note about Brandon Marshall, about him possibly taking less to go to the Patriots. There was no way of that because if anyone remembers history, Josh McDaniels and Brandon Marshall never really got along.
Yeah.
So he was not going there and not taking less to go there. Anyways, with Martellus Bennett, I don't see him coming to the Giants. Him and Marshall, I don't see that working. I mean, it would be a tough locker room because those guys had their issues in Chicago. With that said, when it comes to the free agency for the Giants at the tight end position. Again, you talked about Fasano, Deion Sims is a name to watch. We'll see, but I think they'll fill some of these roles when the first couple waves of free agency die down. That's when you'll see them kind of flirt with running backs or blocking tight ends. But right now, I mean, people are expecting Cook or Martellus Bennett. I just don't see it. Not smart. It would make no sense.
No, I mean, listen, if we're talking about the current tight end situation, if you look at, okay, they have Matt Lacoste, who will hopefully stay healthy this year. And Jarrell Adams, right there, you have two tight ends who I would say specialize in blocking. Now, I think Jarrell Adams definitely has the ability to develop into a better pass catcher, but he's not a seam buster by any means. Now, if you go into the season, you have a guy like Fasano, you have a guy like Adams, right? So you got two tight ends. You can run a two tight end set. You won't have the fullback, but for all intents and purposes, a power running scheme. So you have that. If O.J. Howard or David Njoku are there at 23 and you take them, all of a sudden is you have two tight ends who are very adept at blocking, one in Adams who can develop into a better pass catcher, one depending on Howard and Njoku who are – They're blocking. People rave about their pass catching, but they are very good blockers, right? So if you have Njoku, you have a guy who can bust open the middle of a defense, also sort of block. What I'm basically getting at is you can have a very versatile offense without having to break the bank in free agency. Now, I'm obviously talking about Howard Njoku. These guys are first-round picks. I mean, it goes even further. You got Engram. You got Jordan Leggett out of Clemson. You got this guy out of Drake, whose name I'm forgetting already.
We also got Bucky Hodges.
Bucky Hodges, absolutely. So, you know, it would be nice, and obviously my two favorite players and who I want the Giants to draft, if available, are Howard and Njoku right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the end of the world, because as long as you bring in another blocking tight end on the low, you'll be able to find a pass catcher later in the draft.
Yeah, and it also goes back to competition. There's nothing better than competition. Talked about on the offensive line about what we want to see about competition on the offensive line. Same thing at the tight end position. Look, I like Will Tye. I think he's been serviceable the past couple of years. Obviously, he's limited in some regards. But I don't think he should be just handed a roster spot. I think if the Giants go out and they draft a tight end and they sign a tight end, you know, having four tight ends on the roster, five tight ends on the roster, make, you know, Will Tye, Matt Lacoste compete against the other, you know, 88 players. And from there, you decide, okay, is it worth keeping the extra tight end? Is it not? So it brings in competition, not just the tight end position, but also in training camp. With that said, I look at the draft. There's one point I'm going to make. You talk about running backs. You don't want to take one of the first one. I think a lot of people are booking the fact that O.J. Howard will be gone. I'm not so sure. I mean, I think when you look at where this draft is really loaded at. You talk about tight end, running back, but cornerback. And cornerback is a premier position in this league.
Right.
And I think there was talking about potentially 9 corners going in the first round.
And I feel like a lot of Giants fans don't realize that because we're so loaded currently that no Giants media or fan has been talking about how deep at cornerback it is.
The draft is really loaded at corner. So you see some of these teams that are picking ahead of the Giants, you know, talked about Indianapolis, Tennessee, the Jets, Tampa, you know, Washington. Some of these teams are going to be looking to add defensive depth. And also edge rushers, pass rushers. There's another premier position that could also take up spots. So we could see, you know, I think Njoku's going to be there. Howard, you know, I'm kind of iffy about. I don't think it's completely impossible. People are saying he's a lock to go in the top 10. He might be, I think. But if he gets out of the top 15, you know, you look at Baltimore, they have a couple of tight ends. Are they looking to draft a tight end? I think they're going to go corner. Washington, they got Jordan Reed. I think they're also going to go corner or interior defensive line. Where O.J. Howard could get snagged, in my opinion, is that 18 to 20 spot where you got Tennessee picking for the second time, Tampa
and Miami
and the Denver Broncos, and then also Miami as well.
22, I think, so, yeah.
Right. That's where we can see. I could never see Njoku falling to the Giants. With that said, do the Giants wait it out? Do they look to add a tight end? I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Giants play this out. I'm not sold on the Giants taking a tight end, even if Njoku's there. They, from what I understand, they do like some of these defensive players. So we'll see what happens in that regards. I know read somewhere that they're also a little high on my guy, Christian McCaffrey. I don't know if I take him over Njoku, but we'll see what happens. But it's not a foregone conclusion that O.J. Howard is going to be gone before and Njoku is going to be gone before. It's just that it's rare for two tight ends to go in the top 20 like that.
No, I know. If you look at like history too, you know, Eric Ebron was like the last high tight end pick. He didn't exactly pan out to his full potential. You know, guys like Jimmy Graham and Gronk weren't first round picks either. So, you know, it's definitely
Jordan Reed was not a first round pick,
right? You know, so it's a unique draft, I would say, in terms of
some of the. Some of these teams, you know, in the later rounds can grab a tight end. In the earlier rounds, they're looking to get those premier corners, the premier edge rushers. So, you know, I could definitely see him, even O.J. Howard falling. I mean, I think I put it at 50-50 right now.
All right, well, let's hope and we'll see. All right, let's talk defense real quick, and then we'll get to some questions. I would say, like, the main defensive position that we're talking about, obviously outside of JPP, who I'm still confident they'll get a deal done, as are you, Jonathan Hankins, that defensive tackle spot. Brandon Williams is a name that was thrown around as a replacement. I don't think either of us are truly a fan. I think what it comes down to for me, and it's very simple, you have Snacks Harrison, who is the best run defending defensive tackle in the league. Get some sort of pass rush next to him. Get a guy who can penetrate, disrupt the pocket, and not just eat up the run, but also, you know, make the quarterback uncomfortable, force him to move around a little bit. You know, Brandon Williams is like 335 pounds. So, you know, he's not exactly the pass rushing defensive tackle that you're looking for. But that's where I stand. I'm not a huge Brandon Williams fan. You probably know more about him because you're down in that area, but.
Yeah. No, he's a great player. I think the only reason the Ravens are kind of letting him hit the market is because they got a guy named Michael Pierce who also had a great year. And they also have Tim and Jernigan as well, but I don't see Brandon Williams. Listen, this is like a photocopy of Snacks Harrison. He's not as good size-wise. I mean, I don't know how that would work. I think this is just a situation where the Giants are just making phone calls, trying to see what the market is like for their own guys, like for Jonathan Hankins. So I don't think this is something that they're highly interested in. I'd be shocked. That said, again, you never say never. The Giants seem to be inclined to want to spend money on their defensive line. But the big domino for them is something that I heard, unconfirmed, but I'll share it with you guys, is I heard that a deal is in place with JPP. They're very close. I heard there's a framework there. It's just a matter of some guaranteed dollars, and they're going to get this done. I'm not saying it's going to get done by tomorrow, like some other people are saying. But I think this is going to get done in the next week or two. I would be shocked if this drags on into May, June, and July. I think it'll get done in the next couple weeks, and I think the Giants will have some more cap space. With that said, all indications are they're trying to bring back Hankins. If they don't...
Which is wild to me.
Yeah, it is wild. Look, I like Hankins, great player. I'm definitely not against bringing him back.
I just think he's replaceable.
I do too, but I think the Giants seem to have this approach where, you know, this is McAdoo where he's like, I don't want to... He wasn't here, obviously, but I'm not drafting these guys to develop them, then they go off. Obviously, he is replaceable given what they have, but I guess they like Hankins more than anyone else does. But yeah. Anyways, I don't think they'll be able to bring back Hankins, even if they do extend JPP. I think Hankins is going to get $10 million plus per year. Calais Campbell recently made his decision and signed with the Jaguars. We'll see what the deal that is. That could set the stage for that defensive tackle market. But if they don't sign Hankins, that could open them up for possibly getting into the market for some of these guards or obviously tackles where they could bring in another big name. So we'll see what they do on that end. But Brandon Williams, no. Terrell McLean, we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of potential suitors for him. I heard that Washington is one. They have a lot of cap space and they need interior help more than us. Teams like Tennessee, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. I mean, these type of teams are going to be heavy suitors for Hankins and for McLean, the Falcons. So I don't think that the Giants are going to be in there. They'll make calls. You'll hear that name linked to everyone, just like you heard that name linked to Terrell Pryor. They make calls. They call around. They see what the market is. That doesn't mean they're interested. So, you know, as far as Brandon Williams go, no, I don't see that happening. Terrell McLean, we'll see. And other than that, Hankins is probably their biggest priority. If they don't get him, Bromley could step in. They could look to the draft. And if not, maybe, you know, a couple weeks into free agency, right before the draft, right before training camp, they add a bargain bin defensive tackle.
Yeah, just maybe a camp cut.
Yeah, something like that. Not even a camp cut. Maybe, you know, the first couple waves of free agency go by. You know, you could see them, you know, I have to look at my list, but possibly, you know, make some calls on some defensive tackles right before the draft or a couple weeks before the draft. You know, a guy that I had in mind, I thought it was going to be unrestricted free agents, but actually is a restricted, and that's Dominic Easley. But other than that, you know, Glenn Dorsey, Sylvester Williams, although I think he'll be more than what they're willing to spend. Damian Square, Stephen Paye. So guys like that, guys that, you know, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
If you get his name from him. But other than that, I mean, no, I don't think they'll be serious buyers unless they get Hankins back.
I mean, here's my stance. I would rather take a chance with Robert Thomas and Jay Bromley than overpay for Hankins. But I don't think that's necessarily the best solution. I mean, I've been vocal. I love Caleb Brantley. I think he could be
Florida, right?
Huh?
The guy from Florida.
Yeah, from Florida.
Yeah.
I think he's like a poor man's Aaron Donald. Very good pass rushing defensive tackle. Don't know if he would be there in the second round. I actually had him to the Giants in the first round of one of my mock drafts, but I believe he had a poor combine performance, so he may fall. But listen, you got to let it play out. You got to let JPP play out. You got to check out the cap situation. So there's a lot left to happen before they make a call on the other defensive tackle spot.
Yeah, a guy that I liked, the combine too. I didn't know much about him pre combine. Malik McDowell.
Yep.
6'6", 276. He's known to be a pass rushing D tackle. There was a report out there that an NFL team said he had the worst interview, but personally, that could be just smoke for a team trying to make sure that he falls to him. Who knows? That's a guy that I liked in the draft. But with the defensive tackle position, I don't really view that as a premium spot.
Right. Me neither.
So I don't know if they'll be willing to draft one in the first round. With that said, they could later rounds look to get, you know, a D tackle out there. But we'll see. I mean, I think all indications right now is that they're trying to get Hankins down. If they get Hankins down, then that throws everything out the water. But if not, then we can, you know, open it up for some of those guys that we mentioned, those bargain binners, and the draft.
Yep. All right, let's get some questions, unless there's any other topic you want to hit.
I think we hit everything so far. I can't wait for tomorrow, man.
It's going to be even exciting.
The class is not that strong as it was last year, but I think I'm eager to see what these teams do. Obviously, you know, Tony Romo is going to get released tomorrow.
I was just about to bring that up. He's my most interesting free agent because they're going to release him. But I guess real quick, let's talk about him because I was thinking about potential landing spots for him. And really, the only spot that makes sense for him is Dallas because of that offensive line. Like any other spot he goes, I can't think of a team that needs a quarterback that also has a very good offensive line. You know what I mean?
Denver. But if Denver
they don't have a great line. Like they released Okung. Like it makes sense because they need a quarterback and they have two very good receivers in Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. I just don't see him lasting more than half a season behind that line.
Right. And this is why I think, when we talked about, off air, I don't know if I mentioned this, but when I say that I think Garrett Bowles and Ramsey could go in the top 20, Denver, listen, they got rid of Okung. If they aren't able to re-sign Okung back, they got a hole at the left tackle position. They could possibly land one of those tackles, especially if they get Romo. They got to protect him, right?
Yeah.
So, but you brought up Dallas. I mean, look, if Romo is out there looking for the best spot in terms of who has the best offensive line, I mean, like you said, you might as well just stay in Dallas, man. Be the backup. But I think I'll end up in Denver. I think it's written on the wall. It makes too much sense. They have a roster they have a roster built to win now. So I think Denver's where I end up. I heard Houston as well, but I don't know how they do that with Osweiler and Romo.
I mean, Osweiler stinks.
Yeah, but he has got that big contract. I'd have to look at the salary.
But I feel like I think they could still fit him in. Wouldn't have to leave Texas, and they've got a great defense in place. I think that would make sense, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense. Houston, Denver. He said he wanted no part of the New York Jets. Not surprising.
Don't blame him.
They're in complete rebuild mode. He's, 37, 38, bad back. Washington is interesting, but I don't think he'd do that to his – who I believe is his father, Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Interesting one though for me. I don't know if he would. I don't know if there's interest. It's just pure speculation on my part, just an opinion. Minnesota. There's talk of Bridgewater not being able to, probably not being playing next season.
I mean, if you're talking about disastrous offensive lines, theirs might have been worse than ours.
It was worse than ours. Yeah. It was. But I mean, Minnesota. Look. Possibly, I don't know.
I doubt it.
Just putting it out there.
Sammy Sleeves was better than people think he was last year.
Yeah, he was okay, especially with that horrible offensive line. They were calling plays like their offensive line was the best offensive line in the league.
It's crazy.
Like they were running these awful plays, and Sam Bradford was getting destroyed.
Yeah.
But anyways, Romo, Chicago, again another rebuilding team. San Francisco, I think they have their sights set on Kirk Cousins. Cleveland, no. It's Denver, Houston, man. I think that's pretty much it. Kansas City, but they seem to be inclined to go with Alex Smith.
I'm a big fan of Houston. I think Houston makes the most sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that can make
sense.
Got
DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller in his second year, a great defense already in place. I don't know. I think that works.
They got a better offensive line than Denver. Could make sense to be staying in Texas, like you said, weak division.
Right.
Don't have to worry about facing some of those elite pass rushers.
Absolutely.
I could see Houston being that, but man, could you imagine Houston? They just paid Osweiler all that money. Then they got to turn around a year later and say, oh, Osweiler, we don't think you're ready. We don't think you're the future. We're getting Romo.
Well, let that be a lesson to dumb teams. And thankfully the Giants aren't run like this. You don't throw money at a guy based on half a game worth of snaps and the fact that he's 6'7". I mean, that was quite possibly the worst signing of the last 5 years.
It was really bad. Yeah, it was horrible. They're talking about Glennon getting, 14?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 14, 15.
Is that annually?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a two-year deal, 2 years, $30 million for Glennon is not...
Just draft a guy.
They could do that, but they could also be signing him and then draft a quarterback and be like, hey, because the word out there is that a lot of these quarterbacks, the majority of them actually, they're not day one starters, including Deshaun Watson.
Which is why it boggles my mind that people are screaming that the Browns need to take Trubisky. No, they need to take Myles Garrett. They're going to
take Myles Garrett.
End of story.
With that 12th pick is when it opens it up to see what they'll do in terms of, you know, Deshaun Watson, Trubisky, or anything like that.
And I threw the scenario out there. I want to hear what you think. I think they should take Myles Garrett 1, O.J. Howard 12. I think that would be great.
I could see that. That'd be smart.
Yeah.
Cleveland needs a corner too. So
yeah, that too.
You know, again, premier position. Take a pass rusher and take a corner at 12. Those are two premier spots. You get them on a rookie deal, they turn out to be great players.
Yeah.
Those are two cornerstone players for your franchise on the defense side of the ball. We'll see. It's a long process until the draft. But early on, I mean, I think corners and pass rushers, you're going to see a lot of those in the top 20. I want to talk to you about something. We were talking about Romo. We were talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Have you been reading up on what's happening in Washington?
Yeah, Scott McLaughlin
McLuhan.
My apologies. He's like about to get fired. He wasn't at the combine. He had a death, allegedly had a death in the family, but like it was 2 months ago. You want to fill me in real quick before we get to questions?
It is the most bizarre thing, and it's also the most Redskins thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, leave it to Dan Snyder.
Quickly, McLuhan wanted to lock up Cousins last year. Cousins was a manageable quarterback. Look. Say what you want about Cousins, but if Oswald's out there getting that money,
right,
Cousins deserves to get his money too, right? Yeah. But anyways, you know, he, I think, made a comment to a Washington Post reporter saying, hey, I wanted to lock up Cousins, but upper management wouldn't allow me. Upper management being Bruce Allen, who's the team president.
Right.
Bruce Allen took exception to that. And now it seems that there's two theories with this. One, McLuhan, who has a history of alcohol abuse and got fired from the 49ers and the Seahawks, could be back on the bottle. The second thing is the Redskins, being as dysfunctional as they are, just completely are out to fire him, and Bruce Allen and him don't get along, and Bruce Allen being the president, he's going to get rid of him. What's even more bizarre in this whole scenario is San Francisco wants Kirk Cousins. They could possibly get Kirk Cousins without giving up the second overall pick.
Yep.
What's stopping them is the fact that Daniel Snyder has something against Kyle Shanahan, who's the new coach of the 49ers, who was formerly the offensive coordinator in Washington with Mike Shanahan.
I mean, that organization is a clown car.
It is bizarre. I mean, you turn on the radio here, it is, and McLuhan has done a great job. I talked about it with somebody. I said, look, the one thing I feared about the Redskins was, like, I was like, you know what? I think they're finally starting to figure out how this thing works. And if they do that, you know, you got a guy that can draft really well. He does have a history of drafting really well. You can look into his history with the 49er teams, and he was big on Patrick Willis when they drafted Willis back in the day. And you just have to do your research on that. But, I mean, they seriously are about to – they have effed this up, and they're back to being that dysfunctional organization that I for a second thought that they were not going to be.
You can put, I don't know the expression. You could put like makeup on a turd, but it's still a turd.
I'm telling you, man. Listen, I'm 25 years old. Going to be 26 in July. Kirk Cousins is the best Redskins quarterback that I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You guys go back, look in the history. Patrick Ramsey, Mark Brunell, Tony Bay. I mean, listen, history goes back. You guys can look it up, but Cousins is the best I've seen since I've been watching football. So
yeah,
it's just crazy how this whole thing is transpiring. And Cousins wants no part of Washington, as a report has come out today.
Why would you? I mean,
listen.
Yeah.
I mean, after the stuff you're hearing. Oh, what's more funny about this whole situation? I work about 5 minutes from Redskins Park. I'll share a quick story from you guys. I work about 5 minutes from Redskins Park. The area that I work in, a lot of Redskins players live there. A lot of coaches live there. Actually, someone that I work with, her daughter goes to the same school as, I believe, Joe Barry's daughter, and they're actually friends. Joe Barry being the defensive coordinator. I think he got fired this year as well. But anyways, McLuhan also lives in that area as well. And there's been a couple of pictures snapped of McLuhan in the grocery store. I mean, if you guys haven't seen it, you guys have to look it up. He looks like a complete disaster compared to what he looked when he was actually doing his job. He's got a full-grown beard. He's put on some weight. I mean, he just looks like a wreck. It looks like he's back on the bottle. But anyways, a couple of these stores that he was at, saw the pictures of it, I was like, wow, I've actually been there a couple times. So maybe if I run into McLuhan, I'll say hi. You know?
Ask him if he wants to come on the podcast.
Yeah. Hey, but listen, he's a great scout. I'll say, hey, you want to come, you know, work for the Giants? You're going to have to lay off the booze a little bit, but, you know, you can take Martin Mayhew's spot, whatever Martin Mayhew
did. This is big. Just got a notification on my phone. The Ravens are signing Danny Woodhead.
Interesting. Ozzie's known for signing these, you know, he calls them ageless players.
Yeah.
Woodhead, we'll see what he, I mean, I guess.
Apparently fully healthy.
They lost Kyle Juszczyk to the 49ers today. I'm not saying Woodhead's going to take that role, but kind of sort of what Juszczyk did was catch passes out of the backfield. I see Woodhead kind of being that as well.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see that.
I'm a big fan of Woodhead. I assumed he was just going to go back to New England and try to win a championship.
The Ravens also signed Tony Jefferson, who I like a lot.
Right.
They got a safety tandem with Eric Weddle and Tony Jefferson, a team that could also be looking for a corner in the draft. And they could have a pretty good secondary as well going into next season.
Yeah, you never know. All right. Let's do questions.
That was a great stroll around the league.
It really was.
We went right around the league.
One thing I think we should do towards next season, I think we should do like weekly segments. So
sure.
A stroll around the league could be one. I want to do like some funny stuff too. So we'll see. But that was, I like that. All right, let's do some questions. So I have like my tweet pulled up. I'm just going to pick three from that. You can pick three from yours. And then that way we keep it short. We get to some questions. So while you pull it up, I feel like I'll read mine first.
You send me the list?
Send you the list?
Yeah, I
was just going to, like, I clicked on the tweet that I sent out for the podcast.
Okay. You want me to, got you.
Yeah, just like pick three off the, like, the replies you got.
Right.
All right, let's do this. This one from Tim Menez. Fact or fiction, the Giants will give more total guarantees to... Okay, that question made no sense. Fact or fiction, the Giants will give more total guarantees to the offense than offense?
Offense or defense?
Okay, whatever. Get it together, Tim. Any cuts... This is from Eddie Penn. Any cuts the Giants should make to save more cap space? You know, I guess Dwayne Harris is a possibility. You know, he is a great gunner, but we're not paying him to be a gunner. We're paying him to be a return man. He could be a cap casualty. And then I'm drawing a blank. Which linebacker is it that,
JT Thomas?
JT Thomas. I feel like JT Thomas could be a cap casualty, although the fact that he hasn't been cut yet, leads me to believe that he'll be around for next year. But I think Dwayne Harris is the most likely.
JT Thomas, two things on JT Thomas. One, I think he has to pass a physical first before they can cut him. I don't think he's fully healthy. Two, they kind of have a little uncertainty at linebacker because Keenan Robinson has not been re-signed yet. Maybe if they re-sign Keenan Robinson, that's when we'll see JT Thomas go.
Yep.
But I think I'll be shocked if he plays at that $4 million salary that he's set to make. You brought up who's the second guy you brought up? Or the first guy you brought up?
Dwayne Harris.
If they cut Dwayne Harris, it'll be a post-June 1st cut, meaning they won't get that salary cap credit until after June 1st, where they'll get $3 million back.
Yeah.
Pre-June 1st, they only get like $1.5 million or something like that. So if they do cut him, will be post-June 1st.
Okay.
One question that I got. Interesting question. I want to bring this up because a lot of people have been kind of asking it. Where are we getting all this salary cap space from? It's very simple.
Yeah.
The salary cap is not that big of an issue anymore in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some teams that, you know, are in really, really deep cap struggle that they have to restructure and all that. The Giants are not. They're flexible going into the next couple years. Be it they have some players that are going to be up for contract extension, but there are ways that they can, you know, format these contracts where, you know, it's a low cap hit this year. In the next 2 or 3 years, that's when you see the real cap hits going. They can also restructure, make some cuts. If they really want to sign a player, I think if they really, any free agent that's on the market right now, if the Giants really wanted to get him, like they really wanted to get Olivier Vernon last year, like they really wanted to get Damon Harrison last year, and Janoris Jenkins, if they really wanted anyone, they could go out and get him. Probably wouldn't be smart, but they could get him if they really wanted to.
Yeah, it's all about how you shuffle the money.
It's all about how you shuffle. I'll tell you guys. Jeff Abrams, who is in charge of the Giants, he does player personnel assistant GM. He is a smart, smart dude. You guys need to read up on him. He is just, guy is just amazing. He's so smart. Puts all these great contracts. Kevin Abrams, I'm sorry, I said Jeff Abrams. Kevin Abrams. You guys need to look him. That's one guy I don't want the Giants to lose.
All right. Ever. Derek Rowe. Marshall makes the team better, and I'm excited. But what do we do about offensive line? Not a great draft. Hardly any free agency money. I think Okung, you got to bring him in. And then, you know, it's tough, but there are options out there along the offensive line in the draft. Obviously, it's not a very deep draft. You know, we brought up Bowles and Ramchick. Antonio Garcia could be an option in the second or third round. So, you know, there are guys out there that you can bring in maybe for just competition's sake. And, you know, I'm sorry to disappoint you guys, but, you know, the closer we get and the more days that pass, you know, Ereck Flowers is going to have a starting job on this line. It's just a matter of where.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I think you, the guy that asked the question, basically answered it in his tweet.
Right. Yeah.
Ain't much on the free agent market, and there ain't much in the draft. You got to hope you hit on somebody in the later rounds, and maybe if you want to take Ramsick or Bowles if they fall, I think could be a possibility they will. So we'll see. And also, I mean, look, I'm in the minority. I haven't given up on Flowers just yet. My turn, huh?
Yeah, your turn, my bad.
All right, let me see here. We already answered about the offensive line. Oh, this is an interesting one. A little early to answer this, but I think we can give it a shot. It's from Dylan Lawless, at Dylan_Lawless.
What's up, Dylan?
Who finishes 1, 2, and 3 in receptions next season? I'm going to say receptions, you ask. I think Odell's going to be one.
Yep.
Receptions, I'm going to say Sterling Shepard is 2. I'm going to say Brandon Marshall's 3rd. Although, I think Brandon Marshall could end up having more yards and touchdowns than Sterling Shepard. Excuse me, not yards, just touchdowns.
Just touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think Odell's the obvious number one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, receptions, man. I'm going to say Marshall. I'm going to say Marshall. Just because I feel like the opportunities are going to be there. You can't double both guys. And, you know, it's just so easy to throw it up to Marshall or to find him in the middle of his zone. You know, I don't know. I'm just going to go Marshall. You never know. This isn't like a, you know, huge point of contention or anything. It's going to be a great offense. We'll leave it at that. I'm going to go Marshall number 2.
And Shepard number 3. I think The one that's going to benefit more from this, obviously they're all three of them are going to benefit. But I think Sterling Shepard is going to benefit a lot, especially with Eli Love going to the slot receivers and get that one-on-one. I think Marshall's going to garner his attention. I think there will be times where he garners it. Beckham's going to garner his. I think Shepard is going to be able to eat up the middle. And if they eventually add a tight end, I think that's going to open things up for him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this also fixes their huge problem in the red zone. You know, they've been one of the worst red zone defenses in terms of converting to touchdowns over the last few years, and I think Marshall definitely helps that. Let's do this guy, Karanarak, KoranArok. Does it become daring for defenses to still use cover 2 with the signing of Brandon Marshall? This is interesting. You know, bringing in Brandon Marshall basically signifies that the 11 personnel set isn't going anywhere. Giants used it over 90% of the time last year, and it proved to be, you know, one of their biggest struggles on offense, in my opinion. I don't know. I really think that's where the tight end is going to come in. I still think that with Marshall, you can use cover 2. It may be, you know, less effective considering his skill level, but you're going to need someone who can really bust open a defense in the middle. You know, and that's going to come either in the form of Sterling Shepard having some relief, having Marshall and Beckham on the outside, or with a tight end that can really catch.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Pretty much nailed it with that. It'll be interesting to see how they use these three wide receivers and how everything goes. I'm eager to see how it works. I think it'll definitely be improved. I think the three wide receiver set will be, it'll be used a lot. McAdoo does like to use it, but I think it'll be used more effectively than last year.
Sure. All right, let's do one more question from you, and then we'll wrap it up.
All right. I wanted to see if I can find a free agent question, but it seems like all I got is a draft. Okay, here's one. Good question. I like this one. If the Giants decide to cut wide receiver kick returner Dwayne Harris, what are your thoughts about Cordell Patterson as his replacement? I'm going to add on to this question. If they cut Dwayne Harris, which they could, if not Cordell Patterson, then who? Who could be the next kick returner?
Okay.
For me, I think it'll be someone in the draft. I think potentially a competition will be there. I don't think for sure Dwayne Harris will be cut. I think he probably will take a restructure and come back as a gunner. Cordell Patterson, yes, specifically. This is AJ Marshall 3 at AJ Marshall 3. Patterson, I think, is going to get more than what the Giants are willing to pay.
Yep.
I think he wants to actually get opportunities as a receiver. And as you know, the Giants are kind of limited at giving wide receivers opportunities right now. So I think he's going to go to a team that needs a wide receiver. I could see the Philadelphia Eagles being a spot for him. We'll see. But I think that what he's looking for and what you have in your mind, AJ, is not what he's actually looking for. So, no, I don't think he's an option. I think it could be the draft, could be one of their own guys. We'll see. Dream scenario for me is, you know, somehow we land Christian McCaffrey. He's out there returning punts and kicks. But we'll see what they do.
Yeah, Cordarrelle Patterson's a no from me. Why not give Tavares King a shot? He's speedy. You know, you might as well throw shit at the wall, see what sticks. I don't think Dwayne Harris is the answer. I like Odell Beckham returning punts, not necessarily kicks. I don't know. I think there'll be competition, but at the end of the day, Cordarrelle Patterson's not the answer here.
If they also, I heard that they're looking to get that power back in free agency. Now, this is all subject to change, obviously. But hypothetically, if they get that, you know, that speedy running back, and not McCaffrey or anybody else, maybe that guy could be the kick returner and the punt returner too. So that's also something to keep in mind if they part with Dwayne Harris.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, I think that's it for this week. You got any final words?
No, this was a fun episode. I can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah,
I think you and I are gonna get together again in a couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe a week and a half or something like that. When this first wave kind of dies down, we'll see what the Giants do. Hopefully they'll have JPP signed by then. We can discuss that. But other than that, man, it's a great, great way to start free agency. Get Brandon Marshall.
Absolutely. Couldn't be happier. Guys, that's it for us. Remember, subscribe on iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play. Follow us on Twitter at EthanGSN, at GothamSN, at NYGDaily. And we'll speak to you guys soon.
Peace.
Peace.